amongst advocates. Few, I would say, have ever been properly trained or even become aware of the need for advocacy skills in mediation. So this session will be a completely different session from the previous session on advocacy and arbitration, which is a completely different ballgame. So I'm very privileged to be able to chair the session with an illustrious panel of speakers, the first of whom will be Dominique Holgan-Doran, SC. Dominique is a senior counsel of the Australian Bar with chambers in Sydney, Melbourne, and Adelaide. She's recognized by Doyle's Guide to the Australian Legal Profession as a leading commercial litigation and dispute resolution senior counsel, and in 2016 won the inaugural Lawyers Weekly Barrister of the Year Award. Dominique is a former president of the Australian Women Lawyers and serves on the IBA's Bar Issues Commission's Regulation Subcommittee. Dominique.
So I've been an advocate now for over 20 years, and in that time I would say I have been taught almost never the art of advocacy in a mediation. And yet today, as a commercial litigator, most commercial litigation in which I'm involved settles at mediation. And indeed in arbitration, increasingly, hybrid processes are agreed upon or urged upon the parties to also have a mediation leg as part of the ongoing attempts to resolve the dispute. The aim I have set for myself, and with Winnie and the rest of the panel's cooperation, is to try to set some structure around how some of the things we might talk about this afternoon, and how we might go about considering how to prepare for and to undertake the role of an advocate, advocating for a client's best interests in pursuing resolution of the dispute. And we were having a discussion just before the commencement of this afternoon's session that there are some barristers and some counsel, depending on which jurisdiction in which you practice, who refuse to mediate, who refuse to have anything to do with that kind of process. I don't know whether it's because they regard it as somehow beneath them or they don't have the skills. But there is no doubt that the role of an advocate is increasingly expected to be one in which you can appear in a multiplicity of tribunals and a multiplicity of fora. And those fora increasingly are ones in which you're sitting around a table and trying to resolve a client's problems. Why mediation? We'll have some discussions about this, and one of us will also speak more about the hybrid processes. But one of the issues about in deciding where to proceed to mediation is because it is confidential and it is cheaper. And we all know that the cost of litigation these days means that many people wish to avoid, and certainly many clients, be they individuals or commercial parties, wish to avoid the cost involved in a protracted legal dispute. And they also want to avoid the opportunity costs involved of having their managers, their staff, their people caught up in a dispute for a long period of time. And that's one of the primary reasons why increasingly courts require parties to go to mediation, or order parties to go to mediation. But one of the principal roles you will have as an advocate is to help your client decide, are they ready for mediation? Is their dispute prime for discussion around a table? Do parties have an idea of at least what the issues are? Do they have an idea of what their quantum that they are arguing about? And are they ready to really make a deal that will be effective and binding through the mediation process? So my view as counsel is that the role I have is to decide what information I require to tell my clients whether or not they're ready, or what my view is as to whether they're ready to proceed and what needs to be done. Choosing an appropriate mediator. Now, a lot of this will depend in part on whether the mediation agreement or some sort of agreement between the parties or an order forces a particular type of mediation. But depending on the nature of the dispute, an evaluative mediation may not be available to you. It may be more one that is a facilitative style. Now, in Australia, increasingly, our mediators are former judges. And if you think former judges are facilitators, you would be in error. Indeed, one of the reasons parties are so keen to have a judge, it's because they think they're going to get an evaluation of their claim and get a form of private dispute ruling. And of course, explaining the differences in the processes and dealing with the client's expectations of the process is one of the critical roles that you have as an advocate. And of course, I think there was some discussion in the earlier session to decide who is your audience. Well, your audience isn't simply the mediator. The audience in this is your client and your opposing clients. And having their buy-in as to how to decide together to choose the mediator. If it's a court and next mediation, you may have no choice. You may be sent to a registrar. You may be sent to the arbitrator, may step out of that role and suddenly become your mediator. And there's a range of unhappiness in that process. But considering who will be your mediator is a critical role for an advocate to play. And I don't ever advocate for waiting to hear, tell me what day you need me and I'll roll up and I might open the pleadings and try and remind myself what was that case that I settled the pleadings for some 6 months ago. I think these days the expectation is that counsel will be involved from start to finish. And in fact, a client will be better served. I mean, I know I am utterly biased in favour of barristers, but nonetheless, I think clients are best served in that way. In scoping the mediation outcome, I won't spend too much on this, but this paper I'll put on my website, but this paper tries to indicate what are the kind of things that you need. We all know that if you act for an insurer, or more importantly, if you act for a plaintiff that is suing an insured party, there's no point having a mediation. You can't tell your clients this matter is ready for mediation if the insurer does not have an authority to settle. Those are the kinds of preparatory steps you must be actively engaged in, because otherwise your client is incurring a cost that you as counsel have failed to advise about. Information is critical. If you decide to go to an early stage mediation, the advocate's role is to assess what evidence or what anticipated evidence do we think needs to be made available to the other party so that they can make an informed consensual resolution with you of this dispute. And of course, I said about the audience. Who is your audience? Well, the mediator and the opposing party, and often the position paper is really intended in part as a cheat sheet for the mediator to get some grip around the dispute, to take an active role. But also it might be to signal to the other side where you have confidence in your case, how you propose to deal with the difficulties in your case, or you may choose to take the most simplest, straightforward route, which is to make an opening offer of a commercial sum, and you're not going to talk about the law, and you're not going to talk about the weaknesses in their case or your case because you're simply there for the economics. We had an American presenter in the last session, and one, I don't say that immediately by way of association to the first dot point, but there's an interesting dilemma at a mediation. I think your role is ultimately to persuade the other side to agree with your client, with whom you've already persuaded, or plan within the course of the mediation to persuade, to resolve the matter. One of the great things about a mediation is it is hard for professionals to do. And the reason it is hard, it is entirely against our self-interest to ensure that this dispute resolves today. It's actually in our interest, our personal economic interest, to enable this proceeding to go on for months and years and to ensure that we take the role of an advocate through the court system. So it requires some hard looking upon ourselves and deciding that we nonetheless accept our duties to our client, and then thinking then about what is the way to present at a mediation is entirely different to the way that one would present before a court. I have seen people to great effect open with a very bombastic opening statement. I have equally seen other people open in an opening statement in a very explanatory, assisting way to try to explain past the lawyers to the back row to where the client is sitting why today is the day. So I think thinking about your audience will help you with that. Enhancing. There's a lot of work you do in a mediation in the room with your client. Now, a lot of us may not see much of a client. We'll be only if we act for corporate interests. We may deal with the general counsel, but not the chief executive, those kind of, but yet, and yet they're the person who's there for the day. It's a difficult test because they will be seeing different styles from you and requiring you to explain the process and engage with them in a very different way to the way when you stand in front of a lectern in the court. You're not going to be going back and forth all the time in court to get instructions, but very much so in a mediation, you'll be very closely engaged with your client. And understanding how to interpret their instructions is a substantial issue. Emotional issues and social and cultural issues may involve, for example, ensuring that there's a support person there, or alternatively, that there are interpreters there, or alternatively, understanding that resolution can only come about through having a more involved explanatory process. One of the things we don't get taught a lot about at bar school, strangely, is how to negotiate. Lots of solicitors, of course, have fantastic negotiation skills, particularly if they're a transaction lawyer. But actually, advocates and litigators may have had very limited training in actual negotiation strategy. I know I took myself off to Harvard and did that short negotiation course, program on negotiation, which I thought was fantastic. And it really helped me be a better negotiator in these close quarter mediations because I appreciated that there was so much changing in these environments. Again, exploring, speaking to the negotiating of the strategies and dealing with the impasses and deadlocks. We'll talk about this more in our groups, but as in our panel. But this is where the advocate skills really come to bear. It's advocating and persuading and understanding and testing all of those things that one does with a court, but now you are doing it with your opponent or you're doing it with the mediator and using the mediator to pass on a message, pass on a position, or to be, in effect, an ally, which is certainly the case if you've got a former judge and they agree with the point of law that you think is the right way to be construed. But all those dynamics in a mediation, a fully rounded, good advocate will seek to develop those skills and deploy them. Overcoming those negotiation styles which are difficult and adversarial can be difficult. One of the things I've just mentioned in passing, I don't want to spend too long, is fatigue. It's a great saying that mediations will spend the whole day, you break for lunch, you break for afternoon tea, and still there's no resolution, and we're pushing on into the evening in the expectation that suddenly it all comes together at sort of 5:30, 6:30 p.m. But of course, as we well know, that's the worst time to be making a decision because you will sure to have buyer's remorse the next day. You may be at risk of having your client say, you forced me to make that settlement. And you also have the problem that your clients may not understand the settlement and you can't get the settlement through. And that means your role as advocating in their best interests has not succeeded. Walkouts are a classic. Threats of a walkout. How do you deal with that? Well, I have been in mediations where I have been required to remind my opponent of the obligation of good faith. And that comes at both the beginning and the end. At the end, we're talking about stopping them leaving because we're here to negotiate in good faith and what is the impact? What is this really about? Is this grandstanding? But it can also happen at the beginning. You can waste an hour because someone has put a stupid offer on the table. Now, there's two things I would suggest on that. The first, in dealing with your client, if they want to give you those instructions, I have had circumstances where I've said, I don't accept those instructions. I'm not going to take that offer. We're here to negotiate in good faith. And I use my skills as an advocate to deal with my client and say, what is really the reason? And alternatively, if my opponent puts an offer that I think is outside the ballpark and is not in good faith, I won't take it to my client. And I'll say, I won't take that to my client. So these are the kinds of ways that that positioning and hearkening back to your roles is important. Completing, I'll just note, running out of time. We'll raise these, Winnie, in our group session. Sort of hot topics or things to be considering. Are we really just doing it as a dress rehearsal for the trial? My view, that isn't what it's like anymore. People used to say to their clients, don't talk at all, because my opposing counsel wants to work out whether you're a good witness or a bad witness. That's what the whole thing, that's why they're here. Now, that's not what happens anymore, and there often is a time for you to use your client as the advocate, and how can you support your client to be that advocate? And some other questions, how to deal with high and low ball offers, and stepping back from it all, through all this process, it may not settle. So your client has to continue to have confidence in you beyond the mediation. And so maintaining your credibility, not being chummy with the mediator, not being too chummy with your opponent, all of that is part of remembering that your role is to advocate in your client's interest. And if that means maintaining some professional scepticism with your opponent, some professional respect with the mediator, and professional support to your client, then you'll have been a good advocate. That's all.
Thank you very much, Dominique. Our next speaker is Norris Yang from Hong Kong. He is the founder of ADR International Limited,